People look into mirrors to see how they look. They look into the Psalms to find out who they are. With the Psalms, we bring into our awareness an ancient sorrow. We release a latent joy. We use the Psalms to present ourselves before God as honestly and as thoroughly as we are able. We carry on with our short series looking at some of the Psalms. And today, it's Psalm 146, a psalm of happiness, of joy, of celebration, a psalm that shouts out to God in gratitude and praise. It's one of a collection of psalms that brings the whole Psalter to a close, seven psalms of exuberant praise. In Psalm 146, the psalmist opens with a shout of praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise him as long as I live. I will sing to my God all my life. Words we might recognize as the opening words of Mary's Magnificat, and hence the reference to her right back at the beginning of the service. Psalmist then goes on to emphasize that the Lord is the only one in whom we can place our trust. Do not put your trust in human leaders. No human being can save you. And the psalm then recounts God as both creator and deliverer, the one who made heaven and earth and sets the prisoners free, heals the sick, lifts up the oppressed. Now, those are familiar words, are they not? Words found in Isaiah 61, where we find these: the Lord, Sovereign Lord, has filled me with his spirit. He has chosen me and sent me to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to announce release to captives and freedom to those in prison. And these same words were used by Jesus in his great manifesto found in Luke's Gospel in chapter 4. Where we read, then Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath, he went as usual to the synagogue. He stood up to read the scriptures and was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to set the oppressed free, and announce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people. Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All the people in the synagogue had their eyes fixed on him as he read to them, this passage of scripture has come true today, as you heard it being read. This is just one of many interesting points that comes from this psalm. And the dating of the psalms can be difficult, but many scholars think that this psalm, along with the other six at the end of the Psalter, derive from Israel's post-exile period, where the Jews had returned to their homeland. And also the words of the following Psalm 147 begin with a reference to God restoring Jerusalem and bringing back the exiles. The acts of setting free the prisoners, healing the sick and lifting up the oppressed are not being universally experienced though, because not everyone experiences every grace from God. The Psalter knows that we grow sick, we can be killed and we can be oppressed. And our own experiences, and whenever we turn on the television, will tell us that these things are happening today. But we can be reassured that God moves in the midst of sufferings. He sustains God's people and he pulls us out through the hard and the difficult times. Because this is how God works in our broken world among his broken people. And it's with this understanding that the psalmist can find case for joy and celebration. Finally, the psalm closes with a declaration of faith and trust. The Lord is king forever. Your God, O Zion, will reign for all time. Praise the Lord. When we've looked at the psalms, we've can sense a constant theme of trust. The trust that the psalmist always places in God. No matter what we have come through, we've been through lament and we were able to bring our worries and our pain to God. We then moved on into praising God for being with us in the midst of our troubles and our lives. And then just last week, we were thanksgiving for God just being there. And that leads us today where we can celebrate and have some joy. A few weeks ago, I set the homework of finding God in your daily lives, those thin places where you have felt close to God. And I still wonder how you got on and did you find them? And today in celebration, we can look for thin places where our happiness and joy brings us close to God in our gratitude. This week, young people up and down the country have been receiving exam results. For some, it will have been a week for celebrating. For others, a week where they wonder what's going to happen now as they sense their world has come crashing down and they've found themselves really wondering what now. I want to share a personal story with you relating to this. Both our children completed successfully university degrees, but their routes could not have been more different. Andrew, our son, has a Bachelor of Design from Grays School of Art here in Aberdeen. Neil and I have never quite worked out where he gets his gift for creativity and design from, but for 4 years ago, we were there to celebrate with him the end of 4 years of work. School for Andrew was a breeze. With little effort, he had the grades to get to university. A year of building a portfolio at college instead of staying on at school for 6 years, and off he went. But then things changed. Andrew didn't enjoy his university course. It was a grind. Each semester usually ended up with him coming home and chasing the deadline for hand-in. But he made it to the end. And he currently works in Glasgow as a designer with an up-and-coming design company. And he's doing well and life is good. Thank you, God. Praise you for getting him there. Kirsty, on the other hand, graduated the day before her brother with a first-class honours degree in social work. And she now works for North East Sensory Services, also here in Aberdeen, as a social worker. Kirsty, unlike her brother, thoroughly enjoyed her university course. She worked hard and got the result that she deserved. But this is a girl who didn't always find studying easy or enjoyable. Indeed, she would probably tell you that for most of her school years, life was difficult and full of disappointment after disappointment. She left school with a solitary higher in history, and she despaired if she would ever reach her goal of becoming a social worker. And then two things happened to change that. Firstly, Kirsty went on an expedition to Peru with a group from school. And it's fair to say that the Kirsty that came back from that month away was not the Kirsty that left to go on that trip. The Kirsty that had left to go on the trip was a Kirsty full of doubts and real worries about how she was going to cope, particularly with the physical part of the trip, or for the being away from all her home comforts and being part of a small group in a part of the world miles from home. The Kirsty that came home was a Kirsty that was full of confidence and full of determination, a Kirsty with a new bring it on attitude. Praise the Lord. The second thing that happened to Kirsty was a lecturer at Aberdeen College who gave her a place in a course that she really didn't have the qualifications for. Praise the Lord for that man. 2 years at college and Kirsty had the qualifications that she needed to have to get to the social work course she wanted to do at Robert Gordon's. And 4 years on, the girl with one higher in history gained a first class honours degree in social work. Praise the Lord. So to those parents and grandparents worrying about young people that may not have received the results they wanted this week, do not despair. These youngsters can still achieve their goals. The road may have taken a detour and it may take them a little longer, but the goal can still be achieved and we can still turn to God and praise him. People look into mirrors to see how they look. They look into the Psalms to find out who they are. With the Psalms, we bring into awareness an ancient sorrow. We release a latent joy. We use the Psalms to present ourselves before God as honestly and as thoroughly as we are able. In that quote, which I've shared each week as we have explored the Psalms, it has given us a reminder that in the Psalms we can find words for all eventualities. As someone put it, the Psalms as a whole are not meant primarily to be sung in worship. Rather, we are invited to come to worship in order that we might sing the songs in daily life. So when we are wallowing neck deep in the mire of life, we are invited to sing the songs of lament. O Lord, have mercy. When we are experiencing the grace and joy of life, we are invited to sing songs of praise. Thank you, God. When we are in a tough spot but remember God's presence, we are invited to say, I trust you, O God, you are with me. And when we see God at work in the world, we are invited to point to God's invisible hand at work and say, praise the Lord. Let everything that lives praise the Lord. To close, a modern paraphrasing of our psalm for today. How might I praise the Lord with all my life, my whole life? I will not praise human beings, for they cannot save. I will trust in the Lord. I will not trust in schemes that have no spirit in them, for they will come to nothing. I will trust in the Lord, star maker, wave dancer, land walker, light giver. I will trust in the Lord, for it is the Lord who names the oppressed and intends banquets for the hungry, who gives cause for freedom and invites the stranger into community, who loves those who are unloved and conspires against all wickedness. I will trust in the Lord and the reign of love for all generations to come. I will praise the Lord, trusting my whole life to God. I will praise the Lord, trusting my whole life to God. How about that as a motto for life? Praise the Lord, my soul.